In this session, I want to complete the four-part series looking at Colossians chapter 3 under the title Becoming Who We Already Are. And with Colossians 3 verses 15 to 17, our little nugget of scripture for today, I've entitled this Gospel Marinade. Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." If we've made a decision to follow Christ, then our true allegiance is to him as king, and our primary citizenship is in his kingdom of heaven here on earth. So what does Paul mean when he says that we are to have the peace of Christ rule in our hearts? We might have expected him to say, "Let Christ rule in your hearts." But no, he says, it's the peace of Christ that should rule. Now, first of all, we need to note that this is not the usual word for ruling in the sense of a king ruling. It's a word that's actually taken from the Greek games. It refers to what a referee or an umpire does, because he's the one who makes the decision. He's the one who has the last word. It always amazes me watching a rugby international when the referee, who can be quite a small guy, has words with one of the great big muscular players. And then he pulls out a card from his pocket and the big guy walks to the edge of the pitch. There are rules, and the ref is the one who decides how they're applied. And so Paul seems to be saying, let the peace of Christ be the deciding factor. In other words, be the referee in your life. Because every day is made up of a series of choices and decisions where we're constantly saying yes to one thing and no to something else. And there is a kind of peace that helps us make those decisions as we move forward in the world. I'm sure we can all think of decisions we've made when we had a real peace that it was the right decision. Maybe it wasn't an easy decision, but we knew it was the right decision and we had a peace about it. But we can probably also think of times when we went ahead with something but still feeling very troubled in our spirit about it. We simply didn't have a peace. So how do we make the right choices, the most loving choices? We will let the peace of Christ help us. Now, I think the peace of Christ has a number of dimensions to it. First of all, there is peace between us and God. That's what Paul is speaking about when he writes in Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, since we've been put right with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's peace between us and God. And then there is peace among us as Christians. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 14, "For Christ himself is our peace, who has made the two one," in other words, Jews and Gentiles, "one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Christ's purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And he says in Romans 14, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace." There is a peace amongst us as the people of Christ. And then finally, there's a peace that we experience within us as individuals. Remember Jesus saying in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." In John 16, he said, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And Paul speaks in Philippians 4 about the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace between us and God, peace amongst us as Christians, peace within us as individuals. So how do we get to experience this peace in such a way that it actually guides our decisions? And I think the answer to that question is in the next verse, where Paul says, let the word or the message of Christ dwell in you richly. These three dimensions of peace, peace with God, peace amongst ourselves, inner peace, they're all the result of the gospel, of the goodness and the good news of Jesus. So Paul says, saturate yourself in the message of Christ. Marinade in the gospel. You may think it's strange, but the example that comes to my mind is that of Gandhi, who meditated on Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount every day. He meditated, he marinated in the words of Jesus. And I believe that that's one of the things that enabled him to be a man of peace and to take the path of non-violence. Now, I think it's important that we don't make peace itself our focus, because we can't make it happen. We've got to make Jesus our focus. I mean, if you think about how you fall asleep at night, you can't make yourself fall asleep, but you can choose the conditions that are conducive to sleep. A comfortable bed, a dark room, quiet, or maybe white noise. And we pursue the peace of Christ in the same way. We choose the right conditions as we meditate on the gospel. Hard as it has been, lockdowns during the pandemic, I think, have given some of us more opportunity for reading and for meditating, for listening to podcasts and so on. But the downside has been that we've often had to do it on our own. And I know that I found that to be quite a lonely experience. There have been times when I've just longed for a small group of people with whom to share the adventure, to share the new discoveries of following Jesus. And when Paul says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, the you is plural. Because Paul wants this to be a community activity, as together we learn from one another. And that's why being part of a small group is so important. And Paul develops the idea as he goes on. He says, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. This is what some would call mutual discipleship. We're encouraging, we're supporting, we're building each other with all wisdom. But it's interesting that he goes on to say that one of the ways we do that is actually with music. He says, and as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Now, of course, we're worshipping God, and he's the one who is listening to the music of our hearts. But Paul says a similar thing in Ephesians 5. He says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, always giving thanks. Having times of worship, of music, of singing, it's one of the ways that we encourage and strengthen each other. And I'd encourage you to have times of worship like that in your small groups. And there's that emphasis on thanksgiving. It's there in Ephesians, and it runs right through Colossians. Three times in this passage, Paul speaks about gratitude. He said, with gratitude in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Gratitude. Gratitude is such an attractive quality. Don't you just love grateful people? And gratitude makes other people think, you know, I want what you've got. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He said, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I've sent to you Timothy. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ. One of the key ideas of discipleship in the Bible is the idea of imitation. Paul was using the technology of his day. He sent a letter, but he also sent a person to remind them of how he lived. And in the same way, it's our responsibility to manifest the truth of the gospel in our own lives. That's what Paul was doing, and that's why he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And then, as though we come full circle, he says, whatever you do. It's interesting, whatever you do. You see, the referee doesn't tell you how to play the game. He just wants you to play within the rules. And in a similar way, God gives us enormous freedom. He says, whatever you do. But it's how you do it that matters. Interesting that Justin Martyr in the second century, he wrote this. He said, we offer our lives to all people for inspection. That's quite a courageous thing to be able to say, isn't it? We offer our lives to all people for inspection, because our responsibility is to live as representatives of Jesus. We're ambassadors. We carry the name of Jesus. We're citizens of his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And we do everything in the name of our King and on behalf of that beautiful alternative society. That's what we're working towards, that beautiful alternative society, Jesus' kingdom here on earth. And so we choose to behave in line with who we believe we are. We are becoming who we already are. Amen.